This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
The NBA playoffs have really yielded some surprising results, including an early sweep. And you've got the Knicks playing at a ridiculous level right now. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. We welcome in from Sirius XM NBA Radio. He is the great Frank Isola. Hello, Francis. How are you?
Boys, every time I watch both of you guys are always stirring it up. So there's going to be trouble, I think, today.
Let's start with the Knicks, Frank. What have they shown you in this series?
Well, you know, it's a lot of toughness. That has something to do with it. So, you know, they're missing players. But, you know, when you rebound and defend, you know, you can do that with role players. So their rebounding has been great, especially in the fourth quarter of that game. I think Philadelphia grabbed 4 defensive rebounds. So all season long, you know, Jalen Brunson has emerged as a star. He's clearly the leader of the team. So it's never about what they don't have. It's about the guys that are out there. And, Chris, you know this from being around in the 90s. You know, it always felt like in 98, you know, Ewing got hurt. They beat Miami in the first round. Then, obviously, in 99, Patrick got hurt during the Eastern Conference Finals, and the Knicks still found a way to get to the finals. You know, on that bench, Tom Thibodeau was an assistant coach. Rick Brunson was, you know, an end-of-the-bench guy on that team in 99. So there's a little bit of the, you know, 90s Knicks DNA certainly in this team. And I think that's one of the reasons why the fans like the team so much, because there's a lot of fight in there. It's not a lot of excuse-making. And, if, you know, I'm not going to say New York, only New York likes teams like this. Every city prides himself on being a tough town. And I think when they see that reflected in the way that their team plays, it resonates with the fans.
Given the state of the Eastern Conference, most specifically the Boston Celtics, as well as the team that will eventually represent the Western Conference, what's the ceiling for this Knicks team? How far could they go?
You know, it's interesting. If you look at the way that they've played against Boston, especially late in the season, I get it. Boston, in theory, didn't need the game. But, you know, if you go back to game 2, Miami against Boston just a few days ago, you know, Miami is a tough team and they're physical, and that's exactly the way the Knicks play. But the Knicks right now have more weapons and their best players available, unlike Jimmy Butler. So the Knicks will give the Boston Celtics a lot of trouble if the two teams end up meeting. And remember this too about Boston: a lot of pressure on Joe Mazzulla. The minute they lost that first game just a few days ago, it already everyone, you know, red flags were going up. So if the Knicks get past Philadelphia, and it looks like they would play Indiana in the next round. Even though Indiana, believe it or not, I think the Knicks felt in the first round a tougher matchup for them would be Indiana just because of the way that they play, and they play at a fast pace and they score a lot. But I certainly think the Knicks can get to a conference finals. For me, it's still Boston's championship to lose. But getting to an Eastern Conference final, I think that would be a huge success for the Knicks. And then you just see what happens. You know, you never know. I mean, injuries factor into it. Maybe guys on Boston wouldn't play well. But I definitely think this Knicks team is capable of winning 5 more games and getting to a conference finals.
Frank Isola, Sirius XM NBA Radio, joining us. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. Frank, what, in your estimation, does the Sixers' future hold with Embiid?
You know, obviously they're going to want him. I don't think Daryl Morey is going to want to trade him. But my thing about Embiid, you know, it was we could blame Ben Simmons. Then we could blame Doc Rivers. Last year we could blame Doc Rivers and James Harden. So now they're running out of people to blame. So now he deflects after the game and makes it about the fans, you know, selling their tickets on the secondary market to Knicks fans. It's every postseason, it seems to be the same thing with Joel Embiid. He's never in good enough shape. And I get it. He had surgery, and that certainly is a factor, but it's always the same thing with Joel Embiid. And in the fourth quarter, he doesn't move well. He doesn't have a lot left in the tank. Go back to game 6. Last year against Boston in that second round, he did nothing in the final 5 minutes of that game, and Tatum scored 12 points. That series was there for the taking for Philadelphia, and Embiid didn't deliver. Then in game 7, he doesn't show up. Yesterday in the fourth quarter, doesn't do anything, can't get a defensive rebound. So Embiid, he's a terrific player. I voted him MVP last year. I thought he deserved it, but the idea that he's better than Nikola Jokic, I don't know how you can watch these two guys play over the last 2 years and say that. The one guy just doesn't play enough. And when it comes to the biggest moments, he's yet to be out of the second round. And he's constantly out of shape. And I thought yesterday, first of all, the way that he's played in this series, stomping all over guys, he's certainly healthy enough to stomp on people. That's certainly not an issue. But you know, the kind of turning it on the fans, come on, leave the fans alone. If people want to sell their tickets because they can make some money, players are always making money. Why can't the fans, if they can sell them to all these crazy new Knicks fans that want to come down because the tickets are too expensive at Madison Square Garden, they come down to Philly, maybe it's a little bit cheaper, and they go watch the game.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. So often we take Jokic's numbers and Embiid's numbers, and we say, look, the scoring, the rebounding, look, the winning, the seeding. You know what I want to look at? I want to look at Embiid's floor versus Jokic's floor, because Jokic's bad game is still 20 points, 15 rebounds, and 11 assists. Whereas when it comes to Embiid, you see what you saw in the second half last night. Like, how often has Jokic ever just gone completely missing in the second half of a really big game? So if you're the Sixers this offseason, Embiid's 31. He's played in 54% of a possible regular season game since he showed up in the league. The injuries are concerned. Do you start having the talk about whether or not you move forward with him or try to maximize the return on a trade?
You know, it's interesting. So today on our radio show, myself and Brian Scalabrine, we interviewed Rich Paul. Rich Paul represents Tyrese Maxey. And Tobias Harris is going to come off their books. There's no way that they can bring him back. I think he's making $39 million. The guy, you know, God bless him. He just doesn't do enough when he's out there. And Rich talked about like what Phoenix has, where they went kind of all in on three guys and there's not much left there. Which really about having the two guys, kind of like what Denver has with Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, and finding those really, really good role players. Now, Denver did a good job with Michael Porter Jr., obviously made a great trade for Aaron Gordon, and then they got Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. And I think if I'm Philadelphia, that's what they really need to do. And they also got to find like tough-minded players, because there have been moments in this series where they're soft. I love Maxey. I have no issue with Maxey. I think when campaign has come in there, he's played pretty well. They're a little undersized, but I would, with the money that they're going to get from being off the books with Tobias Harris, I would go, as opposed to doing what Phoenix did, going out and getting Bradley Beal, where there's a lot of duplication there, and then you become thin with the rest of your roster. I still think, and B to me is young enough, where I understand what you're saying, I'm still going to give it two or three more years with Embiid, but the biggest thing for him, and to his credit, he did get in better shape coming into the season, and I thought he was outstanding the first 6 weeks. I was thinking, this guy's going to win MVP again. His passing was great. It's just disappointing that every time we get to, April and May, he doesn't perform. And let's face it, too, guys, you know, they lose to Atlanta, that's Clint Capella. They lose to Boston, that's Al Horford. Yesterday, he was, you know, he got shut down by OG Anunoby. He's not getting shut down by, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon, David Robinson, and Shaquille O'Neal. You know, so that's going to be a big issue. I still have a little bit of faith in Embiid. I got to put a better team around him.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Frank Isola, Sirius XM, NBA Radio. Anybody that thinks that Embiid is better than Jokic is out of their minds. I don't know how they could believe that, even though I love Embiid as a player. But if the Sixers still stick with Embiid, you just talked about the role player idea that Rich Paul was discussing. Do they go that way, or is there more of a star that they will look to bring in? Because we've heard guys like Woj saying this is going to be like the transfer portal this year.
No, and that's what everyone has been saying. It's going to be crazy, but I would be smart when it comes to doing that. Daryl Morey does know what he's doing, but Daryl Morey is also goes big game hunting, and he looks at the big names, and sometimes I don't think that works. Let's face it, guys. So you have Phoenix goes after Bradley Beal, had a no-trade clause. So it's not like they could trade Bradley Beal now. He can decide where he wants to go. So they went all on Bradley Beal. They didn't win a playoff game. The Milwaukee Bucks, now I know there are other factors involved and Giannis not being there, but right now they've won one playoff game since acquiring Damian Lillard. So those two teams, those were the two biggest moves of the offseason, and those teams thus far have combined to win one playoff game. So I'm not so sure that's always the way to go. You know, defense is important in the playoffs. Again, if I'm Philadelphia, I love Maxey. Maxey is everything that you like, and he's got a great attitude. He plays with joy. He actually seems like he's enjoying himself when he's playing, believe it or not. That's pretty remarkable. But they need to put a stronger supporting cast around Joel Embiid, and he's got to make concessions to his body. You know, guys, Tim Duncan, if you watch Tim Duncan walk, he would always drag. I think it was his right leg. Later on in his career, you know, right when he got to about 30, he dropped a lot of weight. And I think Embiid's got to get to that point. You know, he's so big, he's so strong. You love that about him. But when it comes to this time of the year, he just doesn't deliver enough.
Frank, last question for you on the way out. The Phoenix Suns swept at the hands of the Minnesota Timberwolves, who have been a fantastic story this season. What's next in Phoenix? Do you blow this thing up completely? And if you're looking to move pieces, who are the most movable?
Well, if you notice, there was already a story out. They've already assigned blame to Frank Vogel.
Right.
So that's what they're going to do. They're not going to say, you know what, maybe we made a mistake by adding Bradley Beal, who we didn't really need, who had been hurt for a lot of years in Washington and kind of underperformed. So they're not going to do that. If I were them, I would not be shocked if Kevin Durant doesn't get traded, because he's the one guy that you could probably move. There'd be enough teams that would be interested in him where you can get players and also draft picks. Remember, Phoenix traded all their draft picks to acquire not just Bradley Beal, but also Kevin Durant. So it's not, they don't really have a lot of room to improve. Devin Booker is an excellent player. So to me, you know, I'm not touching him if I'm the Phoenix Suns. I still want to build around him. And with Beal, I don't know if you can do it. If you look at the Brooklyn Nets, I think the Nets made a mistake trading Durant when they did, because I was just, you know, wrote out that season, because remember they went 18, they were like 18-1 or 18-2 over a 20-game stretch. Then Durant wanted to be traded, and they traded him. But if you look at that move now, I mean, guys, he's six. His teams are 6-15 in their last 21 playoff games. So it's not like he's still a great player. He's not that guy anymore. He's not the guy that was a Finals MVP with the Golden State Warriors. Still terrific, but not as dominant as he once was.
Frank, great stuff as usual, brother. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Keep stirring it up.
Frank Isola, SiriusXM NBA Radio, Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs, for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and at progressive.com. Speaking of Kevin Durant, the Suns are at a massive crossroads. You're not going to believe what one person thinks can happen. That's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, and on the iHeartRadio app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Pelicans Thunder tonight. Little player prop action for you. Herb Jones of the New Orleans Pelicans. We're going to bet him to make over 1.5 3-pointers. Very simply put, his last game out, 1-for-6 from deep. So we expect a little positive regression here. Now, during the regular season, you'll notice he averaged 1.5 made 3-pointers per game. So you might be thinking, all right, I got to lay a little juice here to get over 1.5, but that's his season average. So why would I be so interested in playing this outside of the fact that he was cold in the last game? Take a look at how many shots he's getting up in the postseason. During the regular season, he averaged 3.6 3-pointers per game. Postseason, 7 3-pointers per game. His output has doubled. We just need him to make 2. Pizza money number 2, Herb Jones over 1.5 made 3-pointers.
Timberwolves win it, 122-116. They complete the 4-game sweep of the Phoenix Suns.
Everybody would say, you know, these are the time that the details matter, and it's something that, you know, we kind of passed by and didn't think was a big deal, but came back and bit us in the
It's hard to pinpoint just one thing right now. When you reflect back on the season, I think that we just were inconsistent with our play. Guys will dig deep this summer, work on what they need to work on individually, come back and try to make some adjustments so we can not go through this again.
Honestly, if I'm Kevin Durant, if I'm the Phoenix Suns, I don't think I'm running this thing back. And I know that they are. I know that's exactly what's going to happen. But dear God, I would try to be getting out of this situation if I were the both of them.
You're that convinced they you really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't think anyone was that set in stone that they were bringing it back.
I think, do you think Matt Ishbia, by firing Frank Vogel, which we believe is going to happen based on what Woj is saying, that they're not going to try it with a different coach?
I think they can try whatever they want. I was under the impression one of these guys is just going to flat out one out.
Yeah, maybe they will.
That's the thing. Like, I don't see the three of them together next year at all.
No, listen, if I'm Durant, I want to get out of there. I mean, honestly, what do I feel good about being there? I think they're going to try to run it back. But if somebody forces their way out, there's not much you can do about it. I don't think Matt Ishbia probably thinks, Joe, that he can convince all of these guys to give it another shot.
Sure.
Because, you know, I'm going to make your life as good as I can while we're doing that. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. If you're Durant, do you want to be staying put there?
If you're Durant, I'm just fascinated by all things Durant because he has such a complicated legacy. Such a complicated legacy. Let's lay it out like this, okay? 17 years in the NBA. 3 years were with the Golden State Warriors. In those 3 years, he went to the NBA Finals three times. He won two championships. That's his time with Golden State.
Yep.
Three trips to the ultimate stage, two titles. In the other 14 years, he has lost in the NBA Finals one time. He's lost in the Conference Finals three times. He's had three second-round exits, four first-round exits, and 3 years in which he missed the playoffs entirely. That's not to knock him. The first 2 years of his career, one with Seattle, one with OKC, they missed the playoffs. It's early in the career. But look at how little has been achieved from a, you know, competitive standpoint outside of Golden State. Since he left Golden State, it's been five seasons. 5 years since he left the Warriors. The first year, he missed entirely with an Achilles injury. He has two first-round exits and two second-round exits. Like, there are people that are really starting to bang the drum that Durant is a big-name player, one of the greats we've ever seen, you know, all that stuff. But analytically, when you really look at his impact on the floor, it doesn't necessarily live up to the hype and the prestige that we've bestowed upon him. It's not necessarily to try to bring him down. It's that maybe we've sat here for years talking about how great he is, and, like, the greatness doesn't necessarily translate to a lot of success in the postseason outside of those Golden State years.
Well, Brian Windhorst this morning was on the Pat McAfee show, or just a little while ago, talking about Kevin Durant and explained why this is such an important offseason for him.
He has 2 years and $105 million on his contract. But because he is eligible for a contract extension, it creates a natural moment for Durant and the team to basically make a comment on each other. Does the team say, Kevin, we'd like to offer you another $60 million when you're 38? Maybe not. But what if they don't? What does Durant say? What if they come to him and say, Kevin, would you like to sign, stay here in Phoenix for the end of your career? What if he doesn't?
Man,
like, that's not something that can be hashed out until July, but that's one of those things, like, you're already wondering what they're going to do. If he does an extension, it sort of settles things down. Whether it's smart or not, it's a different conversation.
Yeah, and that conversation would be, it's not. It's not smart to do it. And if Durant at that point decides, get me out of here, okay. If I'm Ishbia and we're ready to blow this up with Durant, or we're thinking we just want to admit a mistake immediately, that's the best thing you can do. It's the best thing you can do. This team has already been to the finals with Devin Booker. I want to try to keep him as happy as I can. Durant is aging and fading. I still think he offers a lot to a team that has championship aspirations if there are more pieces in place. Joe, at this juncture, if Durant is the centerpiece of winning a championship, it ain't happening. Because look what happened in Brooklyn.
He wanted to be the centerpiece of everything, but he didn't want the responsibility of what goes along with that. He wasn't the alpha. Kyrie Irving was the alpha, and he drove the train off the tracks. So if you're Durant at this point, do you want to stay there? Heck, if you're Devin Booker at this point, do you want to stay there?
See, Booker's the one I would worry about because I think he's going to want out. I think he's going to say, all right, I've been here from the beginning. I was part of a team that went to the finals. You kind of blew that team up, and you assembled this other team, and this other team's worse off than the previous iteration. I've kind of given you everything I need to give you. I might be looking to go to greener pastures. And that wouldn't surprise me at all. And that's the one who's going to net the biggest return on investment. New Orleans would be on the phone with you immediately about a guy like Devin Booker. That makes a lot of sense. But who knows if something like that would ever happen. For Durant, I don't know. Durant's one of those guys, he's damned if he does, and he's damned if he doesn't, right? If he stays in Phoenix and doesn't win, everyone's going to crush him. If he goes somewhere else, everyone's going to say he's chasing rings. It just doesn't seem like there's anything he can do to please everybody, which, you know, you shouldn't really be worried.
Exactly. Stop trying to do that.
You should be worried about yourself. What's the best fit for you? What makes you the happiest? And I have no idea what that is. You know, those years in Golden State were fantastic. And then he wanted to try something new, and it has been disastrous ever since. So I don't know if it's as simple as trying to find your way onto a team like maybe it's Orlando. Find the young team that needs scoring, because Orlando, there's a lot to like there. And they desperately need some scoring. But I don't know if that would be high profile enough. Elsewhere, I don't know where it fits, but staying in Phoenix, building it up and winning, that would be a way to send a message.
Well, let's focus on the Booker part of it for a second. Stephen A. this morning on First Take, well, take a guess what he's hearing Booker wants.
From what I'm being told, I don't know if it'll ever happen, Devin Booker wants to be in New York. That's what I'm being told. Now, he might deny it. I haven't spoken to him.
Right.
I'm just telling you, the scuttlebutt in the NBA circles is that brother want to be in New York.
He want to be in New York.
Okay. So if you're Phoenix, you got at least two people, probably three, who all getting paid about $150 million combined, mm-hmm. don't want to be there.
Is that NBA circle like just Stephen A. in one room? Because he wants that to happen.
I'll tell you, it's extremely valuable when you've got a guy like that who's a fan of your team, who's out there. And he's obviously, he's not going to just shotgun that out there.
Because he thinks
it's funny. He's legitimately hearing that. The guy's as plugged in as they come.
No question.
When it comes to the NBA. Again, that's not the least bit surprising to hear that Booker would be the guy that would want out. He's been through two iterations of this in Phoenix now. Sometimes enough's enough. You want to try something new. You're young. You look around. You see things out there in the NBA that are very appealing. It's funny. You go back, 5 years ago when Durant was leaving Golden State and everyone was linking him to New York, but to the Knicks, not the Nets. And then the thing was, no, he would never play for the Knicks. No big stars want to go to the Knicks. They don't trust ownership. It's a poorly run organization. Fast forward 5 years, you're hearing Booker wants to go to the Knicks. You're hearing Embiid being traded to the Knicks. You know how many people are probably interested in the Knicks? Right now, they're not worried about ownership. The team's winning. Madison Square Garden, New York City. Lots of money, lots of fame, lots of prestige, lots of excitement, lots of intrigue.
Playing with Jalen Brunson. I mean,
hell yeah, man.
There's a lot to like there. God, if I'm Ishbia, that's the one guy that I have to focus on keeping happy in Booker. Like everybody else, listen, if we want to try to run it back, all right, I'll do what I can. But like the best thing that you could do is admit your mistake to Booker and say, all right, we're going to try this again. I'm going to try this again. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. When you're trying to find quality candidates, all the searching, screening, and interviewing can become a job itself. You need Indeed, the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to interview, screen, and hire quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. The one NFL duo being compared to Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. That's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
2024 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr., quarterback, Washington.
I understand why they want to have a succession plan for Kirk Cousins, assuming that the Achilles doesn't end up working out for him. They want to have that guy in place. So I get it from having a succession plan standpoint. Schematically, I just don't really like the fit.
This seems a little high for him, but there's a lot to like about Penix. You know, it's an interesting pick. And look, having two good quarterbacks isn't a bad thing.
This is not about what Penix is, okay, or what he will be. It's about the stupidity of spending the amount of money that you did on Kirk Cousins and then not helping him try to win a championship. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. I'm curious as to your take on this thing because we didn't get a chance to really talk about it, even off the air, because that was an abject disaster for the Atlanta Falcons, in my estimation.
Well, there's a case to be made. There's a case to be made as to the why, right? Like, they really like this quarterback, so they're going to bring him in. He's going to sit behind Cousins, who's gotten injured in the past, so you have a great insurance policy. You have someone to turn it over to in a few years when the Cousins deal expires. And then there's all these comparisons to what the Packers did with Jordan Love and how this is the same thing. This is not the same thing. I want to start with that. I want to eliminate that comparison and that analogy from this discussion. You can believe the Penix pick was a good pick, but stop telling me because the Packers did it with Jordan Love that this is the same thing. This is not the same thing. Jordan Love was 22 years old when he was drafted by the Green Bay Packers. Penix is going to be 24 years old next week. There's already a big two-year gap right there. Michael Penix was taken 8th overall. That's a premium pick. All right, Jordan Love was drafted 26th overall. That's the back end of the first round. And when Love was drafted, Aaron Rodgers was 37 years old, and he had been hinting at retirement for years. Okay? You had to start thinking about the contingency plan. Meanwhile, in Atlanta, you literally just signed a 35-year-old Kirk Cousins, younger than Rodgers, not hinting at retirement, just signed a contract with you, ready to go compete. The Packers did it because they needed a succession plan. They were reaching the end of the line. Their quarterback was telling them that, okay? The Falcons did not need a succession plan. What they need are more weapons and more individuals who can help you win now because your window's opening. So I hate that analogy. There is a way of saying it's a good player and a bad pick. When the Giants took Saquon Barkley, that's a good player but a bad pick. The Falcons taking Michael Penix, good player, bad pick. And I still believe with Jordan Love, good player, bad pick. Because Aaron Rodgers was in an MVP window and you were trying to compete for a championship with one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, you owed it to yourself to maximize that roster and to try to win now. And instead, they used assets on guys that couldn't contribute. And everyone will say, well, Love looks great now. Yeah, Green Bay's very good at being good every year. When are they great? Very rarely, and it's been a long time. It's been a long time. So the pick with Penix, I get it. You know, in 4 years, okay, I guess you got a great succession plan, but what are we doing this year, fellas? What about next year? Oh, no. Penix in 3 years or 4 years. When we haven't seen him play at all, we're going to pick up the fifth-year option on him. That's a good business motto.
Yeah, and that fifth year, let's see, he'll be 29.
Right.
I mean, what are we doing? And I've heard some of the just dumbest rationalizations over the last couple of days. This decision lacked any sort of common sense. And number one, I have heard people, you know, you talked about the move before about the Rodgers and Love thing. Okay, it's not that. I've heard people say, well, you know, the Seahawks signed Matt Flynn to a big money contract in the offseason and drafted Russell Wilson. Yeah, in the third round.
That was also like a two-year, $20 million deal. That was nothing, that deal.
Exactly. And Matt Flynn had not established himself as Kirk Cousins had. And that was a third round pick. They didn't expect Russell Wilson to be the better quarterback right away.
No.
They didn't expect that. That's a dumb rationalization. I heard a rationalization that, well, the Falcons were not a pass rusher away. Really? Then why did you go and sign Kirk Cousins? If you're so far away, why did you actually sign him in the first place? If you're worried about Kirk Cousins' health, well, they don't know about his Achilles. Then I heard that one. Then why did you hand him $100 million? Honestly, if I were Kirk Cousins, I'd be freaking livid. And here's my problem. The Atlanta Falcons tell him when He's on the clock when they're on the clock that they're about to do this. When they had told him that they were going to draft a quarterback in later rounds for developmental purposes. So basically, you lied to me. That's number one. And then number two, you have taken away another weapon on offense or defense that could have potentially helped us win right now. And number three, what the hell did I sign here for? I could he have gotten money to stay in Minnesota? Clearly, he could have been more than happy to stay in Minnesota. The Falcons have been entirely too worried about what the public thinks than about what Kirk Cousins thinks. And I think that's a problem.
I'm not too worried about that. Two fronts. Number one, you're not going to let him know well in advance because you don't want this to leak. Okay? You want to take Penix, you want to take him eight, you got to keep this stuff secret. So you're not going to let anyone know. And you don't need to let Kirk Cousins know, which leads me to point two. He's well compensated. And he's an employee. You do what you're told. You don't like it? Go start your own business. Work for yourself. But if you're going to work for somebody, this is how it works. And maybe you're a little upset. Maybe you wish, you know, someone would have given you a heads up, or you might not have signed here if you had known.
Would the Vikings have signed, have drafted J.J. McCarthy if he stayed put?
Probably not. But you know what? Kirk Cousins has had an incredible run throughout his career of getting paid and not winning games. Nobody gets paid more money to not win games than Kirk Cousins. It's been going on forever. So now that he's in Atlanta with this guaranteed contract, he's upset about the draft pick and whether or not he's being treated fairly. You're getting compensated. Go cry with your $100 bills. I don't care about any issues he may have. His job is to show up and win. He shouldn't be worried about anything else. If he's upset that they didn't draft another weapon around him, yeah, I could see that. But the idea that they may have drafted his successor, so be it. So be it, man. Like, this is the business. Don't worry about what's happening on the outside. Go handle everything else that you can take care of. But back to the Falcons and how misguided this pick is. They always say, and you hear this everywhere on sports talk radio, the greatest contract in all of professional sports is the rookie quarterback contract. Because when you got a rookie quarterback playing, he's on a cheap, cost-controlled contract, and you're free to spend everywhere else to address the roster. Well, the Falcons have the franchise quarterback on the rookie deal. They just also decided to pay a veteran premier money, so they're not going to have the cash elsewhere to go out and bolster the roster, so that by the time Penix might actually play, he's probably headed for a second contract already, and then you're not going to be able to spend that money on other players to help him out. Just an incredible misallocation of resources.
There is not one single justification for this that makes any sense, but Raheem Morris out here taking bows.
I hate for it to be like the story of the draft. I know it will be. That's just how our world is based and is driven. But I can't say it gets annoying. I can't say it's annoying, no, because it's what people want to see is pique more interest. I feel like, you know, what's Kelsey's girlfriend name? I feel like her right now, just based off. I'm Taylor Swift right now, and Terry's Kelsey, I guess.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
At all.
Taylor Swift would not have drafted the quarterback. Taylor Swift would have gone in another direction. I could trust that.
Why didn't they just not sign Cousins and then draft Penix? It's not like Penix is...
Exactly.
Penix isn't Trey Lance coming out of the Dakotas needing time to be developed. Like, Penix is 24 years old. He was just in the national championship game. He played multiple years at Washington and at Indiana. Like, he's ready to go in the pros. It's not like he's this massive developmental project, any more so than other quarterbacks of his age or first-round status would be. You can't just bring him in with the eighth pick, save all the Cousins' money, use that elsewhere, and get this thing going with Penix? Like, were they so afraid Penix wouldn't be available at eight? Then maybe trade up a couple spots. Like, I'd rather use some draft picks to move up than $180 million on a guy at quarterback who I don't know. Is he my guy? Is he not my guy? The first game Cousins stinks, everyone in Atlanta is going to want to see Penix. Like, away.
But if I'm Arthur Blank, I'm saying, you're doing what exactly? Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. I'm fascinated to know what people think about this. I really am. Is there any justification in your mind for this? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Lines are open. Let's do that next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, including on TuneIn.
Barbasol Shaving Cream, America's leader for a close, comfortable shave. Better by Barbasol.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Player prop in the Miami-Boston matchup tonight, Game 4 at Kaseya Center. Tyler Hero over 20.5 points scored. Had an awful shooting night in Game 3, 31% from the floor for a guy who shot 44% during the regular season. He was just 3 of 9 from long range as well. That'll happen. Those nights will happen. But oftentimes, those nights then have an impact on the player prop line the next time out. For example, you have an off night, they lower the player prop because you didn't play as well as in the last game, and then you have an opportunity to bet on positive regression statistically, and the guy ends up going over. That's what we're betting tonight, that Hero has a better shooting night, and even in this terrible shooting night, I think he still had 15 points. He's going to knock down a couple more buckets tonight, and we go over. 20.5 points with Tyler Hero, Game 4, Miami-Boston.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Just quickly here before we hit these calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, what's your take on the cardigan?
The cardigan guy?
Yeah.
I have been known to wear a cardigan, not frequently, but my wife dressed me up in one a couple times. I'm not necessarily opposed to it. It's a little snug, to be honest. When you button it, it's a little snug, and I like, and I, even though it's not fashionable, I like things that are a little bigger and baggier. Not because it looks cool, it's just more comfortable for me.
Yeah, there's a lot of debate going around the office today about Mikey C., follow him on Twitter, at Outsider Mike, because he just posted a picture of himself in the cardigan. I don't know. A jury's out for me. It does, with it being Mikey, it looks more like a smoking jacket to me. Because, I mean, well, any jacket really would be a smoking jacket for Mikey. But, I don't know. It just makes me feel old looking at it. Liam wears them. I don't know.
In person. Well, his is a thin, long cardigan.
Yes, it is it's a very thin, long cardigan.
It's like mid-thigh and it's thin. Liam wears the traditional old man cardigan, like the very thick, at your waistband cardigan.
Right, right.
So those are two different things.
And this cardigan looks like something that Phoebe would wear on Friends.
Well, I like the look. I got to be honest. He's got the chain hanging out, too. Everyone's banging on it, but I got to be honest. You look around the halls, we all look the same. We're all wearing jeans with colored shirts. Mikey C bringing a little bit of variety to the mix, I think that's a good thing.
You applaud that. You applaud individualism.
Yeah, he looks different. Like, we can't all look the same. Like, I applaud Handman for never combing his hair. He's the only guy here who doesn't do that. Job well done. We got to look different. Although, I'm just kidding. The hair has looked very good the last few days.
Yeah, he has really tightened it up quite a bit.
It's nice. I'm impressed by it.
He did not stick with the mustache for very long either, which I think we can all say was a wise decision.
I'm a big mustache guy.
I know. I have a feeling I'm going to be rooting for that loss in your
Survivor.
Week-to-week Survivor pool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We grow the mustache out during summer break, and then we come back ready to rock it as long as possible, as long as the Survivor pick lasts. And then when the Survivor pick goes down, inevitably in the month of September, we shave it.
Let's hit the calls. 888-SAY-ESPN. Tony in North Carolina up first on ESPN Radio. Tony, what do you got, dude?
Hey, first of all, I love the show, guys. First time calling in.
Appreciate that.
I want to say, maybe we're looking at this all wrong. Maybe the Falcons drafted Penix. What if a quarterback goes down? What are they using him for a future draft? Or to get another player and use them as a pawn to trade if a quarterback goes down, because we know how quick some of these quarterbacks goes down and during preseason and the first couple of games of the season. And maybe that was part of their reason for drafting him.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I hear that, but then by that logic, the Chiefs should have drafted a backup for Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
And literally every team in the first round should be drafting quarterbacks for backups. Like, you got to make some sacrifices at some positions, okay? You got to make some sacrifices. Most teams sacrifice at the backup quarterback position because you do realize if the starter goes down, you're probably toast anyway.
Yeah. The way that happened with the Eagles a few years ago when they signed Sam Bradford in the offseason and then drafted Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz outplayed Bradford in the preseason. B, it wasn't $100 million for Bradford. And C, Teddy Bridgewater went down. And that was just pure luck than anything else, at least for the Eagles. It was horrible luck for the Vikings. Dan, New York City, next, ESPN Radio. Dan, what do you think? All right, good thought.
I'm trying to work through what you were just saying. You were combining the Viking situation with the Eagles. Like, of all the backup situations, most people go to, Wentz went down and Foles stepped in and won. And then they go to Hostetler with the Giants. How did you get to Bradford and Wentz?
Maybe they drafted Penix to trade him if somebody else loses a quarterback. That was his point. And I said the only situation I could think of that happening was when the Eagles signed Bradford in the offseason and drafted Wentz. And that was just pure happenstance that Wentz happened to outplay Bradford. So they traded Bradford and got a first-round pick.
They drafted Wentz 2 overall. He was coming in to be the starter.
I understand that. I mean, they had Bradford there as kind of an insurance policy. And, you know, if Wentz wasn't ready to go, that was my point. But they were able to trade him away for a first-round
pick.
Yeah,
but Bradford was just there as, like, the guy who was going to hold the job for maybe a few weeks. He wasn't like Cousins where he was your starter.
I'm not comparing the situation from that standpoint.
Okay.
I'm saying it just happened that they found a place where they could get a first-round pick for Bradford out of a team being desperate.
Bit of a Charlie Huff knuckler there. Bit of a Charlie Huff knuckler, but we're moving past.
What, you think I got a fastball? Let's go to Brad in Georgia next on ESPN Radio. Brad, I got to be crafty to get people out. What do you got?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. But, hey, Joe, I love you. I remember before the season last year, you killed us for having Desmond Ridder as our starting quarterback, and it didn't work out. You were right about that.
Thank you. That's a great call next. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just having fun.
look, man, now we get – it's like damned if we do and damned if we don't.
I like the Cousins signing.
Was that?
I like the Cousins signing.
I like the signing, too, but that contract is front-loaded for the first 2 years. I mean, we don't want to have to look for another quarterback in 4 years. Who knows what the draft is going to look like 5 years from now?
No, I understand, but usually you also don't want to be finding out about a quarterback when he's 27 years old.
I hear the point. He's right. I did not like the Ridder situation last year. I think that's not necessarily like it was some bold prediction. I love the Cousins signing. I think you guys – I don't like the Penix pick because I think you guys are ready to win now and not win the crap NFC South. I think you're ready to make some noise in the postseason. That's why I would have loved to have seen the number 8 pick go to some player like a Dallas Turner that could come in and help you win now. I understand. 3-4 years down the road, maybe just maybe the quarterback situation won't look great. You want your backup plan in place. But then here's the thing. Go out and draft a quarterback then. And you know what people will say? Well, you know, we're going to be in the 20s then because we've been winning good games. Well, then there's your Jordan Love comparison because that's where the Packers got Jordan Love, in the 20s. So if everyone wants to link those two, that's when you do it. Not with a top 10 premier pick when you're ready to win it. You just like Kirk Cousins.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're going to give you more opportunities to get in on this on the lines at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But there's also a lot more to get to around the NBA playoffs. The Knicks up 3-1. Are they the only team that can really be any sort of a threat to Boston in the East? And while we're trying to sort out exactly what the Falcons are doing, there's one team out there that doesn't have any quarterback at all, and they don't have a clue. It's all next.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.